Hello and welcome to your weekly roundup of all the latest news and ramble about the world of electric cars from the team at electrifying.com. This week, we will be discussing what's going on in China, broken French dreams, and what a surprise, Tesla news. Plus, we will be answering all your electric car questions, having a chat about our bargain of the week and dipping into the postbag to find out what's been going on with you. Welcome to the Kilowatt Half Hour. I am Ginny.
I'm Tom.
And I'm Nicola.
Hello, guys. How are you doing?
Hey, babies.
Should we be controversial and mix things up? And should we just dive straight in with some of the comments from our wonderful listeners?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really good idea.
Are we down with this, with just changing it up? Because I think there's one that we need to get out of the way right at the start of the show. I'm going to come in with one. Stephen Brennan has messaged in to say, please stop talking about Leafs every week. Please.
Oh, Tom.
Don't know who that's aimed at, do you, Nick?
What we'll do is we'll try and get through the entire episode without saying the L word, all right? And then if Tom accidentally says it, which he probably will at some point, if he accidentally says it, then he has to put £1 in the swear jar. Buying Manos a full fat Coke, which he loves.
Okay, or biscuits for us potentially. Biscuits. Do you think you can do this, Tom?
I think I can do that. So I'm just not allowed to say the words. Is that right? Yeah.
Oh, no, you're not allowed to talk about Leafs.
No, Tom.
Right.
If you're listening to this podcast and not watching it, he's holding up blooming logos and what was that? A book? Was that a logbook? That's
my owner's manual. Nissan Leaf owner's manual.
No. Right, you're not allowed to talk about that car. And look who has joined us talking about foreign times. We have a special guest. This is absolutely brilliant timing. Welcome to the Kilowatt Half Hour to our very good friend Steve Fowler.
Ni hao.
You're in China, right?
I'm in China. Yeah. Amazing, isn't it? This technology lark, it's brilliant.
So for those of you that don't know, Steve Fowler is a very good friend of all of us on here. He's one of my oldest friends, longest friends in the automotive industry. Longest. One of the first people I met. Longest. We used to work together years ago and you're a friend in and out of the industry. But I think more importantly, at one point, you're a brilliant journalist who has also employed all three of us at some point, haven't you, Steve?
Mm-hmm. Oh dear, have I?
Yes,
oh, wow.
You have.
I only choose the best.
Oh, right. Is this where we might want to perhaps get a few grievances out of the air? Tom, Nicola, any grievances about Steve at this point you'd like to share?
What have I done?
I love Steve. No. Steve is wonderful.
I love Steve too.
I like Nicola too. I like Ginny. Tom, over to you. Nice, eh?
Well, that is.
I hope you'll be very, very happy in your next job.
It is brilliant timing. We were just getting a couple of our rants out of the way. The first rant was that please could we stop talking about the Nissan Leaf? So we've given Tom a firm tanning off for that.
Yeah.
But he's. I don't know. You're going to go with it for the programme, Tom. Can you get through a whole episode?
I can get through the whole episode without mentioning the L word.
Okay. And then our moan was that we haven't got to yet, because we have a moan, don't we, Nick?
Well, we're not supposed to be here right now. Mm. Not supposed to be sat in the glorious, very chilly UK, because I was supposed to be down in Nice with Manos, driving the new Cadillac Lyric. And Ginny, you're supposed to be in Paris with Citroën. Right? But last night there was air traffic control strikes by the French and they decided to cancel all the flights. And then what happened was about 10 minutes later, they cancelled their strike, but it was too late because all the flights were cancelled. So now here we are in the UK having a lovely time.
But we are really happy to be here with you all.
Yes.
And it's great that we can do the episode today instead of recording it later in the week. Steve, anything you'd like to moan about just while we're on the moaning subject?
Yeah, I still haven't got my luggage. I've been in China now for over 24 hours and still haven't got my luggage. I'm wearing my Uniqlo clothes I went and bought yesterday. And I can report that extra large in China in the Uniqlo is very different to extra large in Uniqlo in the UK.
No.
It's a little snug, let's just say that, which is not a good look.
They haven't lost your luggage, have they? Or is it coming?
I'm told it might even be here this evening. So it's currently 7 o'clock in the evening where we are. I don't know what time you'll be listening to this, but it's 7 o'clock in the evening in China. And I'm told my luggage may turn up at about 8:30, which seems a little too precise. I won't believe it until it's actually here. But until you lose your luggage doesn't turn up on that belt, you don't realise just how awkward it is, how awkward life is. But hey, we're professional. We just get on with it.
So come on then, Steve, let's kick off with you and then we can chip in with some of our thoughts and observations. But what's been the big stories from Beijing? Because you're out there for the Beijing, the auto show, not the motor show. Go on, what's been going on?
The Beijing auto show. Yeah, so I think for me, the star of the show is, believe it or not a Chinese vehicle. It's a Volkswagen. Mm-hmm. But it's a Volkswagen that's been specially made for China. It's called the Volkswagen ID Code. The story is on electrifying.com right now. We'll be updating that story because I've been told secretly that something very similar, if not identical, will actually go on sale in Europe and the UK as well. Now, the ID code is, I guess you would call it, or they would call it, a GT SUV. So it's quite a sleek, raised vehicle. And I think it's got more than a whiff of Volkswagen Scirocco. And I spoke to Volkswagen's head of design, Andy Mint, and said, am I right? And he said, yes, you are, but don't tell anybody. So there you go. You heard it. It's kind of semi-official that it's kind of an SUV with a whiff of Scirocco.
And I love the Scirocco. Mark II Scirocco, I think, is one of my favourite cars. I just love that boxy
very
shade.
Wide at the hips, the Scirocco. I always thought that. Very wide.
Thanks very much. Oh, sorry, the Scirocco. I thought it was my Uniqlo extra large.
And a little bit of that, you know.
We did chat a little bit last week about your story, actually, that you did just before you went out to China, about how Volkswagens are all going to have this new smiley, friendly face. And I think it's fair to say that Volkswagen didn't really resonate brilliantly with their first lot of electric cars. But we feel like they may be going from zero to hero, because you also quite like the ID2, didn't you, Tom, which we're going to get next year, and again, which is going to have that happier face.
Yeah, I think it was they realized is that it's not that the customers don't like those radical designs, do they? They like something a bit more normal. And I think the ID2, when I first saw it, I thought it was a bit dull, but now it's kind of growing on me in that kind of Volkswagen-y way that you see a Golf and you think it's a good looking car, but you don't get excited by it. But that's what Volkswagen buyers want. I do wonder if on a big 5-meter-long SUV thing they want a smiley face, though, because you look at all the rivals and they're all quite aggressive, aren't they, with the grills?
But I spoke to Andreas Mint about this last year because we were all out in Munich, weren't we? I know you were there as well, Steve. And he was saying that actually for him, he doesn't want to build aggressive cars. He wants cars that have got punch and he wants cars that have got that are true to that sort of GTI performance. But he actually doesn't want them to be aggressive. He wants them to have that kind of lovely level of it looks like a great engaging car and you've just got all that power as well. So I don't know. It'd be interesting to see. But I agree. I've looked at the pictures of that, Steve. I thought it was great. So what else has caught your eye out there?
Another non-Chinese thing, the Mini Aceman.
Yes.
Now, this is no surprise, really. We all knew this was coming. But the Mini family is now complete. So you've got the Cooper, what we used to just know as the Mini Hatch. It's been rebranded as Cooper. You've got the Aceman, which sits in the middle, which is a 5-door, again, sort of slightly raised crossovery type thing. And then you've got the Countryman, which is huge these days. The Aceman is actually as big as the original Countryman. Which seems a bit odd because the original Countryman was quite small. The new Countryman is as big as a BMW these days, built on the same technology as the X1 and X2. So the Aceman, yeah, it looks good. There's a hint of Citroën C3 Picasso about it because it's got sort of cladding around the wheel arches, which it doesn't quite do it. But the thing I love about Minis at the moment, the new breed of Minis, the interiors are just sensational. They've got a little circular OLED screen that is really crisp, really responsive as well. And the materials, the knitting, I was talking to Oliver, the chief designer at Mini earlier today, and he calls it knitting, but it's sort of material across the dashboard. Underneath, it's really cheap plastic, which we would just completely hate and moan about. But by putting a fabric over the top, it's acceptable. It looks really cool. The lighting's great. It will go well, the Aceman. It's all electric, made in China. It will sell by the bucket loads if you want an all electric Mini. But I just think from the outside, it's got just hint of a C3 Picasso there.
Well, also they're saying that the pricing's going to be starting from around sort of 31,500 for the Aceman. I find it interesting that you say Aceman rather than Aceman, but you do say Clubman. And so Aceman, I don't know, sounds a bit like a superhero to me. But but it seems like the price seems to be about right for what they're offering, if there's going to be sort of scratchy plastics and, you know, a bit of plastic cladding and stuff on the outside. Maybe that feels about right for the price.
Yeah, if you think about rivals, like the Volvo EX30, which is a car I know you guys like and rate highly, and that's at that sort of price and that sort of quality. But yeah, I'm not complaining about the quality inside. I think they've been quite clever with how they've disguised the cheap bits. But yeah, it's there or thereabouts in terms of price. Yeah, I think people will love it.
Yeah, I drove the Countryman not long ago. That video is indeed live on our YouTube channel. If you're listening to this in a podcast, head over and check that out, and also over at electrifying.com. And I completely agree. The interior, I just thought, was lovely. And the knitted, it just doesn't do it justice, really, because it's this really interesting sort of tactile fabric that's all over the interior. It's a great interior. It's definitely, for me, they've always done good interiors, I think, but this is a step up. And as you said, if you dig a little deeper, Steve, there are these just like cheaper materials, and it's a brilliant, you know, exercise in show us some nice shiny things, and we ignore all the other stuff that perhaps isn't quite as nice, because it's lovely. And again, the screen, I agree, works really well. Sorry, Tom, you were going to say?
I was going to say, I looked at the figures on it, and they seem to be suspiciously similar to the Aura, what used to be called the Funky Cat and is now the 03. So I assume that car shares its underneath bits with the Aura, does it? The Aceman?
You are correct. There is a platform sharing agreement between Mini and Great Wall Motors, which, of course, is the GWM in the GWM Aura. And of course, we now call that the 03 rather than the Funky Cat. And then, in fact, that could be a very neat segue onto something else that was out here in China, the GWM Aura 03 GT.
Oh, that's catchy. Really catchy.
Yeah. Yeah. Just keep it short, guys, why don't you? So they've hotted it up a bit and put a few spoilers on it and all that sort of stuff. So they had that there, and also the GWM Aura 07, which is actually quite a smart looking thing. Last year at the Shanghai show, when I saw that, it was called the GWM Aura Lightning Cat. They've got rid of the feline stuff these days, and that's going to be the GWM Aura 07. Hopefully it'll be slightly easier to ensure than the GWM or a Funky Cat or 03 as it's now known.
I quite like the old Funky Cat and Lightning Cat names. I'm a bit gutted that they got rid of them, if I'm honest.
I think you were the only one, though.
Yeah. I think you were alone in that.
I'm currently driving a dolphin, so, you know.
That's true. Yeah, but equally, they've not really come up with anything that's particularly sparkling in place. Have they with just the old numbers again? And it's going to get so confusing because they're all giving their cars numbers, aren't they? So that's going to get really, really tricky down the line.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Give them all names like dolphins. I like the dolphin, but I just find it a bit clicky.
Right, Tom, what's caught your eye this week in the news? What have you been looking at?
Well, Tesla stuff, of course, as it always is. So there are two things. First of all, they unveiled the Model 3 Performance. So it's got lots of horsepower, as you'd expect, and 0-60 in 2.9 seconds. And it's got the other face 50 bits that the Model 3's had before, but it's got slightly different front and back ends, which it didn't necessarily have before. Before, I think it was just the wheels that you noticed. It'll be $60,000. So it's cheaper than everything like the BMW M3s and those sorts of things. So it's still a bargain high-performance car. The other thing that Tesla have done is they had their big financial announcement thing, which I don't think was quite as impressive as they hoped it would be. But they kind of clarified what they're going to do with the cheaper car, sort of. Because if you remember, we did a story on it and we got shouted at a lot by, you know, Tesla fans always put on their caps lock and shout at us, don't they?
When they do.
Got things that they think are wrong. I don't know why, but they do. Anyway, so you have to kind of drill down and read the small print in this report, but it seems that they had this plan to do this $25,000 Model 2. It was, we all assumed it was going to be called. that has been sort of canned. So they're not going to do it in the same way that they thought. They're going to build a nice new factory and things. So it looks like what they're going to do is just kind of make the current platform, so the Model 3 platform, cheaper. So they will do a cheaper model, but it won't be as cheap as we thought, is what I think I've taken out of their report.
So the announcement is there wasn't really an announcement.
Well, it's also smoke and mirrors, isn't it, with Tesla? You never know what they're going to do and when they're going to build things. And so I think that there will be a cheaper Tesla, but it won't be as cheap or quite as radical as we thought, because they're going to do this, apparently, this driverless taxi. That's the big obsession that Elon's got.
But that's been coming for an awful long time, hasn't it? And interestingly, the other car that you've just been talking about, the Code, the Volkswagen Code, that's got a lot of autonomous tech in it. I was reading that story, and again, so much talk about that. But, I mean, it does seem to me like that still is a bit of a pipe dream at the moment. It doesn't feel like at any point around the corner we are suddenly going to leap into this driverless future. I think what we're going to see much more of, though, is stuff like the Mach-E, which of course has got the eyes on the road, hands off the wheel in certain conditions. That's coming to the Kia EV9 at some point this year. And I think it's that kind of usable technology. I know Elon really loves his robo-taxi idea. I don't know, Steve, maybe I'm being cynical. I know you're a bit more, maybe more of a fan of Elon than perhaps I am, but I just think all that is just a bit pie in the sky. It's like chasing something for headlines that actually isn't that relevant to us, really.
Yeah, I think you have to think about what people want as well. And at the moment, they don't seem to want that autonomous tech. But it's one of those things, you have to experience it, don't you? And personally, I'm a fan. I do use the level 2 tech that we have at the moment an awful lot. It just makes life a little easier, a little bit more relaxing. I'm still in control. But with these concept cars, you know, the ID Code, you said level 4 autonomy. The thing about concept cars, you can say what you like about concept cars. You can say that they run on unicorn E if you really want to, and journalists will write about it. But when it actually comes to put it into production, you're right. I think level 4 is some way off yet, certainly in the UK and Europe.
Yeah. Ms. Hume, what has caught your eye this week?
Well, I mean, I was other than the fact,
you should have been in France, but
In France. I was quite excited about, just the fact that Cadillac are launching a car that's going to come to Europe. It's all very exciting, and I was going to go and see it and have a fabulous time in Nice. But they've told us that they are going to give us first access as soon as it comes to the UK, like as an apology. Obviously, it wasn't Cadillac's fault, but we have been told. So keep an eye on electrifying.com, because I'm sure as soon as we get our hands on it in the UK, then we'll be posting a video as quick as possible. Because it looks all right, actually, that Lyric. It looks pretty nice. It doesn't look very Cadillac-y, I don't think, but it's nice. Steve's not approving. But I think it's nice.
If you're not watching on YouTube, Steve did a kind of almost like a fake vomit face.
Disgusted face. I think it looks all right. And I was really looking forward to seeing it and driving it. And also the fact that they promised us a nice dinner on the beach in Nice. But what can you do? It's fine.
It is different. I'll give you that. It's got some great tech in there. It's got some British tech in there as well. Yes. It's got a fantastic head-up display by Invisix, a company based in Milton Keynes, and it's proper 3D holograms, some way Star Wars tech. And it's the guy who runs that business is a big Star Wars fan, that's surprising. So it's British tech inside a Cadillac.
Okay.
So
do you know what? I'm just looking at it again now, and I think your vomiting kind of horrific face there was unnecessary.
Bit harsh.
I'm sorry. I think it was a bit harsh.
I've seen it. Seen it in the metal, honestly. I mean, Cadillacs for me haven't been good looking cars for a long time. And if that, I always think, if that's the best America could do, I mean, come on, guys. You know, you're some way off the best that Britain and Europe could do. But yeah, it's great that it's coming. It's more choice, and you're going to be in it first.
Yes, that's the plan.
I'm looking forward to that.
Shout out to our American listeners from special message there from Steve.
let's be honest. You know, they're made of plastic egg boxes, Cadillacs, aren't they? I remember a friend of mine showing me around his catalogue, being really proud. Have a look at that. And I'm sitting there thinking, this is awful. The quality is just dreadful. And yes, they're doing some great things. Love the Jeeps. The electric Jeep, the Avenger is fantastic. But they've got a bit of catching up to do.
Do you want to wade in here, Tom? It's currently 2-1. Nicola and I are kind of a little bit like more on Cadillac's side. Steve is very firm.
Come on, Tom. Come on, Tom.
Well, I think the problem with Cadillac is it's kind of, you have have songs with Cadillac in, you have films with Cadillac in, and it's such a part of American culture that they accept it, whereas we look at it on Cadillac, well, I've heard of the brand, but let's look at the cars. Well, it's not as good as a BMW or a Mercedes. Right, and okay. Well, for our roads at least, it's not, and it's not to our taste. So it's got to be something really convincing to make us go out and buy one.
We'll find out eventually.
It's got to be one hell of a head-up display in it, Steve.
I can guarantee it's got one hell of a head-up display. It's worth it just for that.
Okay.
I was going to have a little chat about the Aceman, but we've already kind of discussed that. But I am on Monday off to Barcelona to drive the new Mini Cooper SE. So that's going to be nice. Very exciting.
That's what you think.
I don't want them to cancel more flights.
Okie doke. All right, let's go on.
You will love it. You will love it. I've driven the prototype and you will absolutely love it. It's fantastic.
Nice. Brilliant, brilliant. Well, that video again coming soon to electrifying.com. Shall we go through some of our conundrums and questions and comments and just hear what you've all been saying? And please do. We get so many comments now into the podcast. It's absolutely brilliant. We're getting emails in, and you can email us at podcast@electrifying.com. You can also, if you're watching this on YouTube, on our YouTube channel, you can pop it in the comments below. Do keep getting in touch. We do read them all. We answer all the queries that come in, even if we don't read them out here, but we are going to go to a few now. So let me have a look. We've got a question here from Robert Smith, emailed through podcast@electrifying.com. This is what we love to hear. Robert Smith has said, "You helped me buy my first EV." Brilliant. It was a Honda, a Honda ENY1, otherwise known affectionately within the Electrifying team as the Honda Ernie.
Ernie.
Because we just didn't like saying ENY1 all the time. So it's the Ernie, always will be the Ernie to us. Amazing Arnold Clark deal that you mentioned on the podcast.
That's Tom.
Bought from that deal, and Robert Smith loves it. We were going to get a 7-kilowatt wall box installed, but because our consumer unit is so far away from the drive, it would have cost a lot. And that is the problem, isn't it, with home chargers. Great if it's just a really standard install. Helen, one of our team, had to have a really complicated install. It got very expensive, and it does really build up the price. Anyway, so what Robert is saying is our energy provider has recently started a cheap tariff between midnight and 7 a.m. I found this will add 20% of charge to the battery when plugged in. Ideal for my 15-mile return commute. When I'm doing longer runs, I just use a public charger. Had had no issues. Brilliant to hear. But the question from Robert is, do you know if a smaller, more frequent trickle charge is okay for the battery? I tend not to go above 80% unless doing a longer journey. Robert, you're looking after your battery already. So who wants to take that one? Tom, do you want to?
Well, I can probably do that.
You helped Robert buy the car, so go on.
Yeah, trickle charging is fine for your battery. So the thing that damages batteries is either extreme cold or extreme heat. So lots of fast charging makes the battery very hot, and that can mean it degrades faster. So trickle charging batteries love it. So that's not going to be a problem. I think the only issue you might have is your plug overheating. So just make sure that your socket and your electrics in your house are up to the task of charging a car for a long, well, seven hour period. It might get a bit warm. So just make sure everything's properly looked at by an electrician.
Yeah, and really interestingly, so the Dacia Spring, when that was announced, that's got, they were saying that they think a lot of their owners won't bother with a wall box because of the added expense. And in Europe, there's going to be the option of a socket booster, and that uses a slightly more robust 3-pin, so it charges at 3.2 kilowatts. Rather than the normal 2.3, and it sort of cuts your time. Dacia are saying that will potentially come to the UK as well. So we'll keep you informed on things like that, because you know, it's quite clear not everybody is going to make use of a wall box, even if you can charge at home. Okie doke. Should we do another one? Who wants to take a question next? We've got one from Sky King in the USA. I look forward to watching your show each week. And enjoy the chemistry between you all, both the congenial and the awkward chemistry.
I don't think it's awkward.
What have I stumbled into?
Welcome to the family.
I'm a fairly new electric car owner who has only had his BMW i5 eDrive 40, great choice, for about 4 weeks now and is loving it so far. Since getting the car, my wife has started talking about replacing her ICE Mazda CX-9 with an all-electric car. What do you think about having only two electric cars in the family? Is that a smart idea? Should we perhaps buy a plug-in hybrid as a second vehicle for longer trips? I'd have thought that's got a pretty decent range already, 290 miles on that car.
How often do you do such long trips? You don't really do long trips that often for it to be that dramatic, right? Two electric cars in a house is totally doable.
But then also I did notice that Sky King USA, perhaps you may live in the USA, where it's just a bit bigger than it is here, isn't it? Mm. Roads are longer.
290 miles, I need to go and buy a pint of milk, don't they? That's
yeah.
Steve, any thoughts on that one? Would you be a two-car electric family?
It depends entirely what you do. It's one of those things that it's very difficult to buy a car well, very easy to buy a car badly. And you might make a mistake by buying a very expensive plug-in hybrid and just use the electric car all the time. This is the thing, isn't it? You know, people say, oh, I'm just going to buy an electric car as my second car, and it ends up being the first car. So just give it some thought. But yeah, it's nothing wrong with a two-electric car family at all.
Yeah, absolutely. Nick, would you be a two-electric car family?
I would. I totally would. As long as one has enough in it, then the other one's still fine. So if you're coming back with nothing, as long as the other one's ready to go, then you're living your best life, really, aren't you? I mean, it also depends on if you can charge at home. If you can't really charge at home, then it makes it tricky doing two cars in one house, I think. But it's doable. Totally doable.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, another question in from Andrew Orr again on email. Hi guys, thinking of getting a Tesla Model 3. My question is, where can I take it for an MOT? Very practical question there, Tom.
Oh, well, you just look up your local MOT station, because it's like any other fuel. So it's the same as a diesel or a petrol or anything, they'll take it there. The only thing I would say is that some garages won't be able to fix some things on it if it's electric, specialist electric equipment. I mean, if it's brakes or tyres or any of the usual stuff, they'll be able to do it, or they should be able to. But if it's something related to the electrical system, they might not be able to. So yeah. You might want to find one who's a little more electric car friendly. But other than that, any MOT station will be able to do it.
It might be worth seriously, though, just giving them a call first. I did something a couple of years ago now, and we did an exercise where we rang lots of MOT, lots of garages around the UK, asking to get an MOT for an electric car. And some did say no, because we know that there is a shortage of trained technicians at the moment, and they're just not able to train people quickly enough. So it's probably worth checking first. But as I said, you shouldn't really have any problems with that at all. Right, who wants to take all the huge numbers of comments we've had in on the whole Milano Junior saga?
Right, okay. So we've had a load of suggestions of different names that it could be called. My favourite came from Steve Jordan, who says, I think it should be called Non da qui, which is basically just not from here.
In Italian.
The Alfa Romeo Non da qui, which I think is quite nice.
I like that. I like it.
Because obviously, if you are new to this, I went out to Italy last week to go and have a look at the Alfa Romeo Milano. And the hour before our flight took off, we all got an email saying it changed its name. And then while we were there, they were stripping off the badges. And they were stripping off. They had like the Milano number plate on for the studio tour. They were stripping that off. Everything that we all had lunch on all still said Milano on it. And I just spoke to the PR team and they're like, we're fine. We've just had a really busy 24 hours. It's not a problem. But, then you've also got a suggestion here from Alan Gravy. What a name, by the way. Who says, I reckon if it's made in Tai Chi, or Tichy in Poland. That would be a good name for a small car. So an Alfa Romeo Tichy.
Oh, can you imagine the Italian government if they'd done that?
Palano, I always thought was a good one. That was a comment on the video that we did.
That was a good one. That was a good one. Yeah. There was a great query came in from on YouTube. DC Various Vids 8082. Hi there. I have a friend whose first name is Milan. He was born in the Netherlands. Does he have to change his name?
Yes, he
probably
does.
Probably depends on where he was conceived.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Do his parents need to tell the Italian government? Oh, dear. And how about heated seats? Tom, do you want to take heated seats?
Yeah, so this was a conversation about Mike was moaning, wasn't he? Because the he did seats in a car turn off when you turn off the ignition, and
first
he just wants them to
problems.
Stay on. I know.
First world
I know.
Problems.
So Mika Davis 660 said the heated seats in my Citroen EC4 stay on. So you switch the car off the next morning, they're still on. And Neil Rao said the heated seats and steering will remain on in a car that I can't say.
Oh, you're not allowed to say the name. So we all know which car that is. Mm. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
There was a rule at the start of this podcast, by the way, Steve, you weren't here, where Tom's not allowed to talk about a certain car that he talks about every week. So we've put a ban on it.
Yes, I can guess what that car is as well. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Okay. So I think we have actually reached our kilowatt half hour and a bit, as we always do. Steve, what are you up to then? So a bit more Beijinging. Tell us what's going on with you.
Yeah, hopefully going to get my luggage back first and foremost, thanks to China Air or Air China, whatever it is. But tomorrow I am going to drive some Geely models. So I've got some Zeekers. So depends if those nice people on electrifying.com want some reviews. I might put some reviews live on some of those Geely models.
Good boy.
Some things we'll get, some things we won't. And I'm also going to drive the Lotus Electra for the first time. I have to come to China to drive.
That's
it,
a bit nuts.
It should be fun.
Brilliant. And yeah, and we would love that. We'll get all that onto electrifying.com. And also, if you haven't already, Steve actually was a reporter on a really interesting documentary for Radio 4, looking at the rise of Chinese car makers, what that might have for the industry. Was it the Electric Car Shock, it was called, wasn't it, Steve?
The Electric Car Shock is still on BBC Sounds, still worth a listen, because there's a very, very good contributor on there as well.
Okay. Well, we'll move on from that one. But yeah, it is. It's good and it's worth a listen. And it's just, the scale of what's happening in China is just really quite exciting. So no doubt you'll be back to tell us more when you're back. Tom, what are you up to over the next week? Anything exciting heading out?
I don't think there is anything exciting coming my way. I think I'm still sifting through all the news from China.
Driving the desk. You're driving the desk.
Yeah,
and Nicola,
driving
hopefully
the desk, yeah.
You will be going off to drive a new Mini.
I better be, or I'm going to kick off.
Yeah, I'm hopefully going off to see something new and top secret from Kia, which I can't tell
you
about yet.
That's
fingers
cute,
crossed the flights
it?
Take off. It is. But thanks, everybody. Thanks to all the gang for being here. Thanks to all of you for joining us. Please don't forget podcast@electrifying.com for any of your questions or comments, or let us know in the comments below. If you aren't already, do subscribe. If you're listening on your podcast platform, please do like and share, because it helps us build the podcast, which is what we want to do.
It's good for the algorithm.
It's good for the good old algorithm. And that's what we all live by. Yay. Okay, everybody, have a good week, and we'll be back next week from all of us. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.